Good morning, SCC. It's good to be with you this morning, albeit virtually. My name is Kevin Hardy. I'm the youth pastor here at our Salmon Arm campus of SCC. Pastor Jordan mentioned a couple months ago when he had the opportunity to preach on Easter Sunday, just how excited he was for that opportunity, and then how disappointed he was that it wasn't in person. He was looking forward to being together and all the festivities that Easter brings as a church family. And I can sympathize with that sentiment this morning, as I certainly didn't think my first sermon on staff here would be to a camera, but here we are this morning. And I still haven't even met many of you, but I look forward to doing that in the coming days and future days. But it's been a joy to join the church here and to serve in the youth ministry starting here in December and just being a part of that. My wife Lauren and my daughter Ryan and I have been welcomed into the Shuswap and into SCC with open arms, and for that we are incredibly thankful. We're blessed to be a part of this church. So what a privilege it is to open God's word with you this morning, even if it isn't in person. And that's something else I love coming into this church, the devotion to God's word. Walking through the scriptures together. I've loved listening in as we've walked through the gospel of Luke together, and I've been encouraged as the Holy Spirit has brought truth to bear on so many of the things that we have been facing in these days. As we begin this morning, many of you have probably heard the term FOMO before. FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. That is anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media website. I used to battle with FOMO, and if I'm honest, I probably still do in some ways. I remember in college, especially in my first year, my freshman year in college, I used to kind of just wander around the dorm, going from room to room, wanting to just be a part of the conversation, wanting to be a part of whatever was happening, not wanting to miss out on what was going on. I remember another time, a particular New Year's Eve, I was invited to a few different New Year's Eve parties. And instead of saying no to one, or saying yes to one and no to the others like a normal person, I ended up saying yes to like two or three of them. And so throughout the course of the evening, I was just kind of looking at my watch, whatever party I was at, looking for the time to go to the next one. Instead of enjoying myself and just relaxing and making the most out of one gathering, I just rushed from place to place to make an appearance. I didn't want to miss out on anything. That's a bad case of FOMO. And in reality, that's really a bad case of fear of man as well. I was so preoccupied with what others thought and being liked. Not good. But that's another sermon. We get the idea when it comes to fear of missing out. We've all probably dealt with that in certain ways. But there is a good kind of FOMO. Spiritual FOMO. This is June and it's graduation season, and graduation looks a lot different these days for high school students and college students. It's not kind of how it normally goes. But when I graduated high school, I received this book. I was given this book, Don't Waste Your Life, by John Piper. And on the back cover, John Piper writes, "I will tell you what tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider this story from the February 1998 Reader's Digest. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells? That is a tragedy." And John Piper doesn't write this to condemn cruising on a boat or collecting shells or playing softball. But Piper wrote this book to help people see how to make much of God in every part of life. The most important part of life is to know and follow Jesus. To know and follow Jesus and to share the gospel, the good news about him with other people. This morning, we're going to look at another parable that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke. And in this parable, in this story, we will see the big idea that God wants a full house. God wants a full house. God invites us in. God desires for his house to be filled. God delights to call sinners to salvation. And you don't want to miss out. Whoever you are this morning and wherever you are this morning, you don't want to miss out. So if you have a Bible this morning, grab it, flip over to Luke chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 12 to 24. And as we turn there, let's pray together. Let's ask for God to reveal the truth of his word to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your grace in our lives. Thank you for today. It may not be the Sunday that we want, but it is the Sunday that we have. And isn't that like a lot of days? Having what we don't want and wanting what we don't have. Make us content with what you've given us. And may we honor and glorify you today. Thank you for your word. Speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. Equip us today to love you and to love others. Stir within us a longing to know you more and a desire to be with you. Make us a people who look forward to what's to come. Make us a people who call others to join in the blessings you have in store for those who believe and trust in you. Make us a people who believe in your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, text is Luke 14, starting in verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet, invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' The master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is God's word. In this passage, we see a few different things. Picking up from last week, Jesus is at a dinner party at a Pharisee's house. He's dining with and been invited to dine with a group of people that are intrigued by him, but definitely aren't his biggest fans. Even up to this point, they've already been at him. They've already been challenging him. They've already been trying to trip him up and call him out. And he's responded by challenging them back and rebuking them in a couple of different ways. He healed the man with dropsy, and that they had questions about the Sabbath, and he points out the truth about the Sabbath. He talks about true humility, like we saw last week. Not going to the party and sitting at the best table, but starting at the lower seat so that you're honored when you are asked to move up. Putting others before yourself, and still he has more to say. In these first few verses, 12 to 14, Jesus continues to teach, talking about inviting outsiders to a party. And he turns to the man that invited him and he says, "When you throw a party, don't just invite your friends. Don't just invite your buddies and your family and your neighbors and all those people who are close to you. Don't just invite those who can repay you. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Invite those that aren't going to pay you back, that can't pay you back. Why? What's so bad about inviting your friends? What's so bad about being repaid? We do this all the time. We take care of one another." Jesus is showing that repayment now is not what is important. God will take care of you later on. God will pay you back at the resurrection. Essentially, Jesus is saying, don't just be stuck on the temporal. He's continuing to flesh out what it means to be humble. Don't just be looking out for yourself and doing things for others in order to get paid back. And we do that at times, don't we, if we're honest, right? We go, man, if I do this for him, he's going to do that for me. And if I do this over here, I'll get this in return, right? We think about these things, these trade-offs. And sometimes it's just being generous, but a lot of times our motivations are tainted, aren't they? Remember what's in store for you in eternity, Jesus is saying. Don't fall victim to spiritual short-sightedness, thinking that this life is all there is. It's not just about what we get in the moment. There's a line from one of my favorite movies back in the day, Gladiator. And there's this battle scene, and Maximus, he's the main character. He's addressing the troops before they go out to battle. They're in the woods, they're in the trees, they're on their horses, about to ride in. And he says, "Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity." I love that. Powerful words. We need to remember that there is more to life than the immediate. And we need to follow Jesus in the now. Not seeking what is always easy or comfortable, but sometimes actually doing the hard thing. Inviting the person that's hard to have at the table with you. And that's difficult, isn't it? We live in a time where self has been elevated pretty much above everything else. I see and have seen countless times this idea floating around that you should actually do the opposite of what Jesus is calling us to here. Instead of inviting these people into your life and serving them and loving them and giving yourself for them, you should actually cut off these types of people. I've seen it countless times. It's too much effort. It's too draining to deal with these kinds of people in your life. They just take from you and don't give anything in return. Time to just walk away. Too much time and energy. Care for yourself. They're holding you back. They're hindering you from living your best life. You deserve better. I hear that over and over. Now, of course, there are times where we may need to reevaluate relationships in our lives. It's even wise to do so. There are other places in Scripture that speak to that. The kind of company that we keep, the kind of people that we surround ourselves with, those are good things to think through. But cutting people out that are difficult to love is not the way that Jesus shows us. And it's not the way that he treats you. The gospel is good news. Why? Because Jesus invites you in. Jesus gives you a seat at the banquet that none of us deserve to be at. Jesus invites you knowing fully that you can't and won't pay him back. It's nice to have friends that pay for you sometimes. We all enjoy that. That's a good thing. You know, they pay for you and you say, "I got you next time," or vice versa. You pay and they say, "I owe you one." But we can't say that to Jesus. We can't say, "Jesus, I got you next time." Jesus doesn't cut you out. He actually invites you in. It's just an invite. And then he actually calls for you to be the kind of person who then in turn invites those same kind of people into your life. So just as Jesus is saying this, he's again making everyone feel a little bit uncomfortable. Another man pipes up, verse 15. He says, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And this man might have been genuinely excited about the resurrection as Jesus mentions it, right? He's like, "High five, Jesus, that's gonna be awesome. I can't wait till we're all in the kingdom eating together. It's gonna be so good." But at the same time, he could just be changing the subject. Jesus can make things a little bit awkward, right? Challenging the dinner guests, telling the host who he should be inviting to his parties. So he might have just been like, "You know, that's going to be so nice. Won't that be nice?" Right? Just trying to change the subject, saying, "Oh, that's going to be so good when that comes. Let's talk about that." But either way, even if he's high-fiving Jesus or if he's just changing the subject, either way, he's assuming he will be there. He'll be eating in the kingdom. But Jesus isn't done. He tells another story. He continues with this banquet theme. And he tells this man and everyone else this story about a man who once gave a great banquet and invited many people to it. And in those days, when you'd throw a party or feast or a banquet like this, you would send out an invite, much like we do for weddings and parties today. Probably not in the same way, probably not with like stationery and all those types of things, or sending out an email. They would just word of mouth, "Here's the invite, respond, let us know if you're coming." You know, and when we get one of these invitations nowadays in the mail, they usually include a little RSVP card so that we can send it back. We can let the host know, like, you know, who's coming? Do we want beef or chicken or whatever it might be, right? If we're coming or not. Or we send back an email or we click yes or no in an email, however it is that we do it. And in this story, it's assumed that the RSVPs have been returned. The host, in turn, knows how much food to get. He goes, "Okay, I got this many people coming. I got to get this much food. I got to have this many seats," right? He's going to prepare. We know how it goes. And once the banquet was ready, the host would then get his servant to go and bring everybody in, to go and let everybody know the time has come. All right, time was a little bit different back then. It wasn't just like, "Show up at this time." It was like, "When it's ready, we'll let you know, then you come." But you knew when it was coming. So there's an interesting twist to this story that Jesus tells. There's something that happens here at verse 17. The time for the banquet comes. The master sends out his servant to, say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. What? What? It's not like this was just sprung on them. They had been invited. There are no surprises here. And yet they aren't going to come in. They're not going to join. And Jesus tells us a few of the excuses that were given to the servant as to why they weren't coming. The first guy says, I bought a field. And I got to go check it out. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're buying a field, you're probably going to look at it beforehand. And why do you have to go look at it this instant? He thought he had better things to do. The second man said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, 5 teams of oxen. Again, wouldn't you be looking at those before you bought them? That's how we do things. The third man says, I have married a wife and I can't come. Maybe that's probably the best excuse that we've seen. But none of these excuses hold water. They all reveal they are choosing something else. They're choosing other priorities. The field, the oxen, even the man's wife would be there tomorrow. The recently married man might have been appealing to the Old Testament allowance for a man to be free from certain obligations in his first year of marriage. That usually dealt with military obligations or military involvement. But that's a stretch. Due notice had been given for this banquet. He simply had better things to do. It was on the calendar. He just said, no, I'm just going to go hang with my wife. These were lame excuses. These were short-sighted. These men were short-sighted. They thought whatever they had going on right now was better. They'd probably get invited to another banquet anyway. There will be time later on. There'll be another party. How many of us do this with Jesus? I think there's going to be more time. We think something else is better than what he is to offer. I can always jump in later. I love this quote in relation to ministering to students, to telling students about Jesus. Michael Horton says, we have to set before young people an alternative desire, not anti-desire, but a better desire, a better object that is found in Christ. Not just young people, but all people need to see that Jesus is better and put away the lame excuses and follow him today. There is no excuse that holds water to coming in to the kingdom. Because the story goes on. And what do we see in the rest of the story? Verse 21, the servant comes. He reports these things to the master. The master of the house became angry. And he says to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city. Go bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. The host was angry, but he wasn't going to have his banquet ruined. He would just invite more people. So the servant does what was asked of him and brings in the type of people Jesus said to invite earlier. The outcasts, the misfits, the homeless, the poor and the sick, the outsiders. And the servant said, verse 22, sir, what you have commanded has been done and still there is room. I've gone out, I've brought these people in, but there's still room. So the master says, there's still room, bring more people in. Verse 23, the master says to his servant, go out to the highways and the hedges now and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet. And that's the end of the story. So what is Jesus telling his hearers? What are these men that are sitting at the table with him hearing him say? What is he saying to us as we read the story today? He's saying that you are invited. He's saying, don't make excuses, come in. And he's also saying, bring others with you. He begins by saying, invite the outsiders to your gatherings. Again, you must recognize that you are the outsider that he has invited in. That's you, that's me. Think about the crowd that's listening in to Jesus here. Who's at the table with him? Pharisees, religious leaders, devout Jewish men. These people were devoted to the faith. And this parable speaks to the situation that Jesus presently finds himself in. God has sent out his invitation to his people through the Old Testament prophets, and they didn't listen. Now Jesus has come in. He's the servant who comes out with the second invite, and they're already rejecting him, right? We're already seeing them turning away and having their questions and challenging him, turning away from him. And we know what comes later on. So God calls for others to be brought in. those in the city and those outside the city, the Jews and even the Gentiles, people who have no claim, no pedigree, no merit to be welcomed in, people who have no right to be at the table. That's you. That's me. Again, Jesus gives you a seat at the banquet that none of you deserve. And there's no way to pay him back. You are invited. So he says, don't make excuses, come in. I like memes, M-E-M-E-S, internet memes. A meme is like a little picture or a little graphic you've probably seen on social media if you're on the computer ever, or if you get a little email with a funny meme in it. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're serious. Sometimes I don't understand what they mean at all. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I'm annoyed by them. And that might be the case for you as I share this with you this morning. But there's a meme that used to float around. It'd have this like little stick man on it, and he'd have a smiley face, and it would say, "This is Bill." And it would have this list of all the things that Bill does that are good things. It would say, "Be like Bill." And there's this other one with like a sad face. It'd say, "This is Bob." It'd have all these things that Bob says or does that aren't good. It'd say, "Don't be like Bob." Jesus is saying, "This is Bob. Bob makes lame excuses. Don't be like Bob." All right? That's oversimplifying it. But Jesus is using the Pharisees as an example, saying, don't be like this. Don't make excuses. Don't think there's something better than what I have for you. Carl Lafferton writes, Jesus is caricaturing the religious leader's response to him. He is the servant sent by God to invite them in to the feast. They are the ones making pitiful excuses, refusing to respond to him because they differ over how to keep the Sabbath, or because he doesn't do the right signs, or because he enjoys eating and drinking. These are the things that we've seen throughout Luke's gospel. We have to realize that the party goes on. The host doesn't just get mad and shut everything down and say, "Oh, they didn't come. I'm just going to close the doors. I'll eat the food. I guess I'll have lots of leftovers for a while." He just invites more people to come. Don't miss this. Don't wait. The party will go on with or without you. You need to realize this. This isn't just a story. God has invited you in. Remember what the master says of those who make excuses. None of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Don't make excuses. Come in. And bring others along. Bring others with you. There was still room. So the host called his servant to go and bring more, to compel them to come in. And then that's the last that we hear. Jesus sometimes does this. He ends the story without wrapping it up completely. And that's because the job isn't done yet. He's welcoming us into the story. The invitation has gone out, but there's still room. And as believers, we are called not only to come in, but to bring more with us. In the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus gives us his mission. He tells us what he's come to do, what he's going to be about doing. Luke 4, 18 to 19, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Pharisees and religious leaders and these devout Jewish men had a problem with Jesus because of the kind of people he spent time with and sought after and pursued. We're going to be coming to Luke 19 in a little while down the road. And later on, we're going to read these words, Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus speaking of himself again, saying, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save," who? The lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the apostle Paul speaks about the change that happens in the life of the believer and the new mandate and mission that you have as you follow Jesus. Paul says in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation." So good. "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Much like the servant Christ, God sends us out as ambassadors for Christ to compel, to implore others to come in. We don't do the work. We don't do the saving. We take the message to those who need to hear it. We bring them in. We say, I've been invited. You can come too. And this is so important for us as a church right now, I believe. Last week, Pastor Ben preached such a good word on humility and what that looks like and what Jesus was fleshing out with the same group as he sat around the table. And Pastor Ben also talked about the importance for us as a church in this present time to be seeking one another out, to go and find the church. As we cannot gather here just yet, we need to be finding other ways to meet, looking to practice hospitality, to pray with and for one another. So good. And we need this. But on the flip side, we can be so happy to be back together and in our life groups and our gatherings or whatever it may be that we forget there's still room. Or maybe during our time at home, it might have been easy to forget there's still room. There are more people that need to be invited in. The mission isn't done even when it's a little bit trickier or looks a little bit different. So who are the people that need to be invited to your table? Who are the people that God is saying, I need you to go and get them. I need you to go and compel them to come in. Jesus says, you are invited. You've been welcomed in. So don't make excuses. Come and bring others with you because God wants a full house. He wants a full house. He wants to share what he has. He's generous. He wants to share his joy with others. This master wasn't inviting other people into the party to spite those that said no. He just wants to welcome people in. If they say no, there's more people that need to come. I have all this that I need to share with them. And I'm so glad God wants a full house. I'm so grateful God wants a full house because that means I got an invite. And he brought me in. Jesus is the servant who came to get me. Jesus is the servant who comes to get you, to compel you to come in and bring others along with you. Again, Carl Lafferton writes, there is a great banquet to look forward to. We can be like that man who said, well, blessed in verse 15, when he says, blessed is everyone who will eat in the bread in the kingdom of God. We can say that because there is a great banquet to look forward to. But God's feast has a surprising guest list. It is not the religious, the good, the elite who will be there. It is those who respond to Jesus' call to come. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has made everything ready for us, whether we are rich or poor, healthy or crippled. You're invited this morning. Don't wait. Don't make excuses. Come. I love in Isaiah, God says through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, verse 1 and verse 6, I'm going to read, but really the whole chapter is just beautiful, beautiful picture of this call to come. Verse 1, Isaiah 55, verse 1, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Again, don't make excuses. Don't wait. Come while he is near. I read this week that this parable was actually the text of the last sermon preached by American evangelist Dwight L. Moody. Maybe you've heard of him or read some of his works, D.L. Moody. And the sermon was entitled Excuses. Warren Wiersbe tells the story. He says the sermon was given on November 23rd, 1899, in the Civic Auditorium in Kansas City. And Moody was a sick man as he preached. I must have souls in Kansas City, he told his students at his school in Chicago. Never, never have I wanted so much to lead men and women to Christ as I do this time. There was a throbbing in his chest and he had to hold on to the organ to keep from falling. But Moody bravely preached the gospel and some 50 people responded to trust Christ. The next day, Moody left for home and a month later, he died. Up to the very end, Moody was compelling them to come in. Compelling them to come in. God wants a full house. How will you respond to his invitation this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you bring people in until your house is full. Thank you that you have invited us and made everything ready through your son, Jesus. Keep us humble enough to simply come and make us more and more excited about the blessing that awaits. Make us so excited that we can't help but compel others to come in as well. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.